locked in. We're back from vacation. No more vacation time for the year. It is May 16th, 2016. CostaCast. I don't know if this is, one, is this 180? I think it's 180. I'll go correct it if it isn't. But I am...
We're so close to 200.
I know. I'm joined with by Kim Smith.
Good morning, Monster.
Long-time podcast co-host, and Kellen O'Malley, first time on the podcast.
That's right, first time. Great to be here.
Yeah.
New to the experience, so we're testing it out. Pretty excited.
But your generation grew up with, you know, we're old people. You're like the new generation, and you're probably a little more tech-savvy than our generation is.
Yeah, a little bit, I think. Maybe a little bit, but I think you guys are certainly catching on rather quickly here.
But you actually have had formal... education in marketing. You went to University of
Utah.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Gloucester and decided to get off the island or give it a shot. Went to the University of Utah, studied business marketing. So kind of got into a lot of the new media stuff, web design, strategy behind all of it, and social media and all that good stuff.
But backing up a little bit, he's very similar to me. You grew up, you know, in a fishing family.
Yeah.
Your dad. Why don't you go ahead and...
I grew up pretty much a lot in the water. My family has a 37-foot Downeast boat that primarily was for lobstering when I was growing up. We've kind of started venturing into the charter fishing industry as well, and I've done a lot of commercial fishing growing up, and it's been a great opportunity. You meet a lot of great people on the water in a hardworking community like Gloucester.
Yeah, and so now... But now you do a lot of charter fishing. You post pictures every once in a while and videos catching stripers and stuff like that. What type of charter is there? A certain type of charter fishing that the Connemara Bay focuses on,
or is it
wide open?
There's a lot of different trips we offer. We'll do inshore trips as well as offshore trips. But I think generally what we try to focus on, what we've learned by kind of doing it, is an inshore bass blue fishing trip, and that the primary reason for that is a lot of the people we're taking out, it's their first time out or they have young families, and what we've kind of realized by doing it is people want to have fun, they want to get off the dock, get right out there, start fishing right away, not go on these long steams, and one of the biggest things is when you get offshore, that's when you pick up waves, and people really don't have a good time if they spend the whole day seasick, is what we've really figured out.
Wow. That's smart. Yeah.
But you can also put them on. You can put them on fish generally pretty quickly if you fish. See, this is a there's a misconception. I think people see wicked tuna, right? And they're like, oh my god, I gotta go out. We gotta go catch a tuna. Like you can just like go and catch a tuna every time. It's really, there's a lot of time you're just sitting around.
It's definitely a lot of downtime. We actually got a tuna fish last year with a guy from Minnesota. Which was a great time, but it's certainly, when we're talking to people on the phone, we try to give them a little heads up that there's a lot of downtime, and there's a reason some of those fish bring some big money. So it's great, though. The show's generated a lot of interest.
Great.
People all over the place are calling up to get out here, so it's great.
That was going to be one of my follow-up questions. Yeah. Like, you know, that show has probably impacted I think it puts money in a lot of people's pockets.
Yeah,
there are people, you know, they're doing their search. Obviously, the guys in the Wicked Tuna, a lot of them charter, like David Marciano,
but they
pass off a lot of these charters. But and they can only do so much. They can only take out a charter or maybe charter two a day, and that opens up
the overflow.
The overflow, right?
Yeah, I think the overflow is great. And not only just for, you know, the charter fishermen, but it's going to book up more hotels. It's going to be more people walking around downtown and visiting all of our shops. So I think it's only done good things for the city.
Restaurants, people all the time come down and they ask, where can I see the boats? And they're from all over the place. I mean, they travel to come see these guys.
Well, you know what's really cool, though? Wicked Tuna, the producers, we learned this from Dave Marciano, the Wicked Tuna producers decided to film here because of the film The Perfect Storm. So The Perfect Storm led to Wicked Tuna, which now leads to this boom around, you know, this little boom around here. So
there's been like a boom with the filmmaking around here in the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
We've had like number of.
But I think it directly stems from
the perfect storm. Absolutely.
And also because of the film tax credit.
Right.
Like if you don't have that film tax credit, they don't care if they're if the name of the movie is Gloucester. If they don't have that film tax credit, they're going to go to Canada.
Canada, right.
So, you know.
A lot of it has to do with union too.
Yeah.
The like if they there was something to do with the, wherever the film office was. So much of a radius, they did. They draw a line, a circle, circle around it, and if they go every so many miles from that radius, the all the union people get bumps up in pay.
Oh, okay.
So,
so interesting.
There was talk of trying to move where the office was so that Gloucester would be included in the circumference to make it affordable to make more films here. Yeah, I heard that in one of those Discover Gloucester meetings.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm. Well, one thing that is interesting also, I learned this from Matt, is that a lot of commercials are filmed in Canada because of the Screen Actors Guild Union, which that charges, that costs so much money that the, so even if you're not in the Screen Actors Guild, if you're just like, you know, walking
Have you been to Montreal?
No. No,
you gotta go to Montreal.
Yeah,
have you been to Montreal?
I haven't.
No.
Both gotta go.
Go.
First of all, it's the city is
beautiful.
It is so. It's like the best. So, okay, so you get the best of Boston, you get the best of New York City, and none of the worst parts.
Right.
Like literally, like because you can get around up there, and there's like, and it, there is no filth at all. The streets are wide, the sidewalks are wide. It's clean. The restaurants are ridiculous. It's gorgeous.
My friend
great
is a,
take.
Well, the one drawback is, I just have to mention this.
Okay.
My friend Isabel lives up there, and it's still winter, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's still freezing cold up there.
We went up there in January. We stayed there in January. Like, literally.
Wow.
Yeah, but they have, do you know, they built a literally a whole city underground. So you don't, like, when you go there, and it's not as beautiful because it's all basically a big mall underground.
Underground.
But, like, you could travel...
Oh,
like almost the whole city underground, where it's all underground shops and stuff like that, and heated. Yeah, yeah, no, literally. But it's not the beauty because it's like European. It's like a European city up above ground.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, and it's not that far. It's a 5-hour drive or something like that.
Yeah,
definitely must.
Like, Liv's been a couple times and she loves it up there. So.
Like I would love to go this time of year.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great to go this time of year.
Well, Matt was just filming in Vancouver. So
another beautiful, supposed
to be
beautiful.
The commercial for Volvo is about a wedding, like this East Coast, Sea Coast wedding. Guess where they got that from their own wedding, right? But he originally wanted to film it here, but they couldn't, you know, it's not spring when they needed to film,
right?
Wouldn't that have been awesome to have them filming here a Volvo commercial? But that's why they chose Vancouver, because for some reason, even though it's on the Pacific and it's further north, it's warmer and balmier there. So
they do a lot of filming up there, though.
Yeah.
So we have the Schooner Challenge. This is the fourth annual Schooner Challenge coming up.
And everybody in the Schooner community is super, super excited about it. Like, I've hosted, and they all shared the post, and so there, it's super.
We should also, so the big thing this year is the Schooner Adventure is going to be part of it. In the past, it was just is the Fame not going to be in it?
You know what? I haven't heard. I thought the Fame was last year, right?
It was, yeah. It was the three.
Yeah.
Now is it still the three? But the Fame is out and the Adventure is in.
I haven't heard anything mentioned about the Fame.
Oh, there's controversy. I love it. Yeah, no. So the Adventure, like just this past year, they got the Coast Guard approval to carry passengers.
Yeah.
So now they're in the date. Do you have the date, Kim?
Yeah, I do have the date. It is, let's see, June 6th. It's a Monday night, 6 to 8. And sign up now because it's filling up. You can sign up to be a crew member. Have you been on one of the schooners?
I've been hopping around on the Lannan quite a bit with those guys, the Ellis's.
Love
we
those
love
guys.
Them.
Yeah.
Is that, I maintain... On a year to year basis, that if someone comes for one night and they have like visitors coming, that if they're gonna do one thing, that they should go on a Thomas Lennon cruise around the harbor.
Absolutely.
Like in the summer.
So beautiful.
Just gorgeous. Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah, so that's a great. So people that have done that in the past, they come back and they always say it's. They make it really fun. So they have these. They have these little, like, fun games that they play. They make it a challenge that everybody can participate in.
Right.
Race in a certain. There's a race aspect to it, and
there's
different
not,
things.
Not time.
Not time.
Not creative. Not time. I guess somebody made Tom Ellis, Captain Tom, a bikini out of rope.
Oh God!
A couple years ago.
I don't know if I want to see that.
See, and not time photo. There's a big photo contest as well.
Wow.
I've never participated, but I'm really excited to do it this year.
And Marty, our Marty,
yes.
Luster, did a video for
Barry O'Brien. Barry O'Brien produced and directed the video,
mm-hmm.
but Marty very generously gave him all his footage from the
2014
and 2015, his Marty's own footage that he had taken from the last 2 years.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
So you can go to I'll put a link right on the blog to your post, which has actually another link that'll take you to where you can get tickets for that.
Yeah.
Good take, very good take. Speaking of Marty and filmmaking and stuff like that,
yes,
he did. He started. He had told me about this about 2 months ago. He's going to do Good Morning Gloucester, the movie.
A movie.
I thought it was going to be all one thing, yeah. but he. I guess he's breaking it up into parts.
Because I think this one was 13 minutes long, so, you know.
So I watched it. I didn't know what to think. I like, you know, when he told me, and I went there and sat down, and he interviewed me, I'm like, who's going to watch this, right? I watched it, and I was really proud of the job that he did.
Okay.
It was very, I think he really captured the spirit of the blog.
Oh,
don't you think?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Well,
I'm sorry,
Marty, but I've just been straight out.
Yeah, watch it.
I'm straight out with work. So
especially the part with David Cox and Manny Simos.
Oh, I can't wait to see
with
that
the banter
part.
Between those
right.
two.
Because you see them doing that, like, if Marty captured that, that's awesome. Because you see them doing that on the street corner. You run into the two of them. They're together. They're like...
Yeah,
they're just
frickin'
so,
frack.
Yeah,
the beauty about, you know, and the good part about Marty and his work is, as opposed to me, like, he really steps back and lets...
Things happen.
You know what I mean? He's kind of like the observer. He's got a good eye and stuff.
Yeah.
He did a great job. So thank you, Marty, for
and
that.
I apologize, Marty. I planned to see it. I was hoping to see it this
Why
weekend.
Do you hate Marty?
Mm-hmm.
joke. This tonight is the Red Shed Film Festival at the Shaolin Loop.
Oh, yeah. Super excited about that.
You have your trailer,
Monarch Butterfly film trailer. But I'm super excited for Granite Visions and Henry Cooper and the whole group because they started like 2, maybe 3 years ago in a tent.
Right, on T Wharf, right?
Right, right. Yep. No, it was right in the center of that little square there in front of the church. That's
okay.
where the tent was set up.
Oh,
right.
Okay, where they have the farmer's market?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so the tent was set up there. And then the next year, I think they were there for a year or two in the tent. And then it moved up to the library. Screenings at the library, and now it's at the Shaolin Loop, and that's like 3 or 4 years later.
Have you been in the Shaolin Loop?
Yeah, I put my head in there a couple times. I haven't seen any events in there, but it's quite a venue to view there.
Yeah.
Oh my
right.
God,
it's
Almighty!
So
you know, people fought that. People from Rockport fought that from coming.
Really?
does it surprise you?
No.
Just like, I mean, does it surprise you that they fought Market Basket? Does it surprise you
no.
that they fought the hotel in Gloucester, the Popo Hotel? But like then, speaking of the hotel, excuse me, I'm spitting all over the place. Speaking of, not to get too far off track, but that friggin' hotel looks like it belongs in Newport, Rhode Island on the cliff walk.
I think it looks beautiful.
Oh, you see it from the ocean.
I see it from the water. It's a big building, but I can tell you what was there before was kind of an eyesore. It's pretty big, but you know, it looks...
It's so gorgeous. I can't believe the job they did. I can't believe they used wood shingles.
It's an economy driver, that building. I mean, the hotel is just like an economy driver. Oh, my goodness.
I can't... that's going to put money in your pocket, right, Colin?
I hope so. That's
yeah.
the plan. Get more people here and...
I'm guessing it's going to put some money... I think it's going to put money in our pocket. We're going to be selling them some lobsters.
We can improve the wharf along the way with increased tax dollars and save the decaying...
I think it's unbelievable. I think it's... Just
I think it's going to put Pavilion Beach on the map. I think that beach only sees a big crowd on Fiesta Week, but I think now it'll be interesting. Yeah. Some chairs out there and a bunch of people will be.
Have you seen the artist renderings of the roof deck pool?
I haven't yet. No.
It's like something out of. It's got elements of, so like we're talking about Montreal before. It's got elements of like Boston. You know, everything in Boston now is like the roof deck pools.
Yeah, yeah.
The scene there.
That's when Tom and I met at a roof deck pool.
They had one back then.
Yes, at the Colony.
They had that engineering back then. She threw a pat at me. Where? Which one?
At the Colonnade Hotel.
Really?
Yes, that's where we met, at Rooftop Hotel.
Kim was there. So Kim's husband was in the band The Atlantics before you were born.
Yeah.
And she was a groupie, and that's how they met. Yeah.
And I didn't know when he had The Atlantics. He always likes to say I'm a groupie. I did not know him when he had a band.
Yeah, no, but her father, so you'd see pictures of her husband. Her husband's this mild-mannered, like, you know, horn-rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
Kind of, he's an editor. He's a hardcore, like, literary editor. And... But you see the pictures of him back in the 70s. The fringe, the leather jacket, worn leather jacket, the long hair, feathered back, and stuff like that. Now it's like.
To bear.
Yeah.
Or you've never seen the early 70s, like when you had the Atlantics. That was from Ball and Pivot. I think you had platform shoes on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But I didn't know him then, so, yeah.
That's when you're throwing your panties on stage.
Yeah.
I'm joking. But anyway, we got off track. I got us off track.
Okay.
But the Shaolin Lu, the Red Shed Festival, the movie festival. Is that one night for the movie festival?
It's one night.
But it kicks off the week of Motif Number One Day.
Right.
So Motif Number One Day has morphed into Motif Number One Week.
I guess so. But I'm not exactly sure what's going on in the middle.
In the middle.
Right. But there's a lot going on.
That day is a as far as family fun events, it's a do not miss because
there's
it's
a race, right?
There's literally they send us out the PDF with the schedule,
right,
you couldn't possibly do everything that there is to do, and it's a lot of fun to be in Rockport, and they serve beer outside. They get the permit to serve beer outside, which is always. Whenever they have events where they serve beer outside, sign me up. I'm in. I'll watch that cyclocross race all day long. They serve beer outside.
They serve beer outside.
Yeah. I don't really
like
care about cyclocross, but they have beer outside. That's why
you like it so much.
Much like the block parties, beer outside. I'm all in. There you go. Beer outside makes everything better. Just saying. Let's see, what else we got here? Oh, Kellen, you're involved. So how old are you now?
I'm 23 now.
23, and you. How long have you been? You are involved in the same boat races.
Yeah, I've been rowing same boats now for, let's see, probably about 5 years. I rode in the junior races for a couple of years, and then we popped up one of our junior crews to the senior crews.
Did you win your first year's rowing as a senior?
I did. I got
the Gigaloni crew.
I got lucky. I got on board with all those Gigaloni boys. They stuck a token O'Malley Irish kid on the crew, and we had a good race and
you knocked off Chaos, right?
We did knock off Chaos.
So Chaos had how many wins in a row?
I think they
had
three or four. I think, and it was a big deal. The big deal is the first one to five. I don't think anyone's ever done it. And we had big ambitions, and we won that year. And the next year, which was last year, we got knocked off by Lock and Load, which is Vincent Orlando's crew.
Which, where did they, how did Vincent Orlando put a crew together? Like does he have a, do they had young guys in that crew? Was there
a lot of Morrissey's. That's probably.
Young Morrissey's or old Morrissey's? Or
a
both?
A mix of all of them. It's not necessarily just a young guy's sport.
Well, you know, when you won, right? So I remember seeing you guys when you're up in the thing. Callum's not a particularly big, like, you think, like, the guys that were winning the same boats in the late 80s, early 90s, they were like steroid guys, like big, huge dudes. Callan, not necessarily, like, tall, lanky, good shape and everything like that, but, like, not a meat stick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
definitely a lot of form, and it's a lot of endurance. If you burn out right away, you're useless.
Run out of gas,
yeah. And no matter what, you know, how good a shape you're in, the ride home is definitely just a grind on form because there's not a lot left in the tank. But
What boat? So what boat do you
row for? I rowed with the wharf rats, which is a lot of the gigolonis, lock and loads, a lot of Morrisseys, and the funnest part of the sport, I think, is in the off season, because everyone's trying to improve their boat, which actually this year there's been a lot of turmoil, because I know there was a couple people who lost their seat on one boat.
Ooh.
And new people get brought in, so it's
what crew is that?
There was two crews that combined, and obviously if you combine two crews,
yeah.
You go from, there's 10 seats on a boat, so there's 20 guys, and they turned it into one boat, so
wow.
A lot of people lost their seats, and it's
fat.
It's all fun and games until you get the pink slip, so I'm just hoping that I'm not going to receive one before this year gets started, so we'll see what happens.
There's always a lot of drama. Like, most people aren't privy to the drama.
Right.
But like the week before, you know, see these guys, the boats go in the water, and it's like the boats go in the water. This is like a week of practice, and boom,
yeah.
The races happen because
right.
They don't keep the. Where do they keep the boats right now? Are they over?
They keep them up the Coast Guard station, I think.
Is yeah, but right in between the Coast Guard station and Empire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they used to keep them up by the lighthouse, I believe.
Hmm.
I don't know why I think that. I don't know. I might be wrong. But anyway, but like it's amazing, especially for these junior crews that have never rowed. They get the boats go in like literally a week before Fiesta.
Yeah. You get a handful of practices in. So that's where picking apart good rowers and trying to get guys from other crew. If you lose a guy, if someone gets hurt, you know, people who have experience have a lot of value. So
I wish they could keep the boats in for longer.
Yeah. Well, the dories, actually, that's one thing I forgot to mention. The dories, I think they have a fundraiser coming up, but that's a great thing more people should be getting into. But the two boat dories are awesome.
Unbelievable value.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, I think it's, I'm not sure, I'm going to say a number, and it could be more or less, but it's not going to be much more or much less. I think it's $75 a year.
Really?
And I could be wrong. But say it was 150,
right.
You get access.
Right.
And I haven't talked about this for a couple of years, but I used to bang this drum
yeah.
all the time. You get access to go on these dories,
wow.
Like all you have to have a pair of oars, and you can
wow.
And when you get on one of these dories, what's amazing, because I'm on the wharf and I have the pumps grinding in my ear all day long.
Yeah.
There's always this background noise like that just winds your tents and everything else. You get on a dory, as soon as you push away from the dock, there's no motor. That's all you hear is the whoosh of the oars and the click.
Wow.
And it is so peaceful. Isn't it amazing?
Awesome. It's awesome.
And that's for a year. $75 for a year to get out on Gloucester Harbor.
Wow.
Like, I mean, you own a commercial boat. Ungodly amounts of money to maintain a commercial boat on Gloucester Harbor. You don't have to pay dockage. You know,
they're in a great location. They're right down behind the brew pub and by lap 43 there, so you can go for a paddle out to 10 Pound Island. And I do know that they have a big fundraiser coming up. I know Amanda Palazzolo is kind of setting that all up, but it's something we'll have to put on the site here to put the date down.
They have access to post, so they can post.
Yeah,
directly.
Okay.
Billy Edmonds has been doing a lot of their PR lately.
Yeah,
because I gave him access. We'll if they send it in, we'll post it.
I
want
to do
away.
That out to 10 Pound Island.
Kim, I'm telling you right now, talk about like you could do it.
Because you know what? Because I'm afraid to take camera gear out to 10 Pound Island in a kayak.
No, you go that. You and Tom, you and Tom could do it.
Yeah, but in a dory, I feel like the camera equipment would be a lot safer.
No, absolutely.
Definitely,
yeah.
They're pretty stable. I know that the guys who are down there a lot, the big figures in it, Jimmy T and those guys are always willing to, you know, show people the ropes, and they're just good advocates trying to get more people in the boats and keep it going.
No, they really are.
Okay.
So, Kellen, we didn't mention the name of your website, so people can, if they wanted to book a charter, they could find more information.
Yeah, definitely. It's www.cbcharters.
CB?
Yep.
Connemara Bay.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Charters.
It's the letter C, the letter B, charters.com. There's a whole bunch of information on there. And
probably pictures, I imagine.
Yeah, a couple pictures.
Yeah, so how long do you leave the dock for?
Probably our most common trip's about 5 hours. We'll go out, we'll do 4 hours of fishing. Generally, go out, jig up some live bait, some mackerel right in the harbor, and go chase the stripers around for a while, and a lot of times in the last hour of the trip, we'll let the people pull up some lobster traps and
a double banger.
Yeah, get that.
See, there's an advantage to book on Connemara Bay. You're not just gonna get do one thing. You get
a
little of both.
Yeah, so
brilliant.
People really enjoy it. Get their hands dirty. See how that whole process works. And
the boat's a beautiful boat, and it's unbelievably maintained. It's a lobster boat. It's a commercial boat and everything.
Right.
But literally, you could eat off of any.
It looks like
a polished, like, you know, one of these like these boats that you see down East Maine,
right,
where like some rich older guy owns it, and but you know that has a hobby of lobstering because that's how beautiful the thing,
the,
you know,
boat,
the glass,
right,
is on it and everything else.
Try to keep it cleaned up.
Where do you keep it docked?
It ties up in a private dock up in the Anasquam River. One of my neighbors lets us keep it there.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we get to send people home usually with fish, and everyone takes home a lobster.
So what time are you? So when you leave, you're going out the Anasquam River that way?
Yeah, primarily we pick people up downtown at the St. Peter's Square, the town landing.
Okay.
And then we pretty much base where we're going on the fishing and on the weather. That's one of the other beautiful parts of fishing around Cape Ann is we're a cape, so if it's blowing out of the south, we can run up the river and fish the north and vice versa.
Okay.
So keep everybody from shaking up their belly.
Just for for the lobstering, right? Like when there's going to be a certain type of wind.
They can't.
So I have a certain, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a day off, right?
Right.
But like all the guys on this side, like, oh, it's terrible weather out. But the guys on the other side, the rockboat
guys,
okay, they'll be out
fishing. They'll have,
you know what I mean? Or vice versa. The rockboat guys will be like, oh, it's
okay,
terrible, I'm not going fishing today. But there'll be like a couple harbor rats that'll go out because they can duck underneath in the harbor.
On the lee shore.
Yeah, right? So it's always like today.
Right.
It's very windy out, and I have a couple boats out.
Right, but it's beautiful out, so that's why I was.
It's not beautiful out if you're a lobsterman.
It's
sunny out, but it's not beautiful out if you're a lobsterman.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this. Ipswich, did you see my post? John Hintleyan, who has the blog High Tide, HYETYDE.com.
When did you put that up?
He took a picture and he put it on his Instagram page of people voting. I guess in Ipswich they go to a town meeting and they hold up a pink slip if it's for a yes or
for the
ban the bags. So they passed it overwhelmingly passed ban the bag in Ipswich.
That's tremendous because the bag lobbies are so strong. They're like coming into towns and telling people, don't, you know, vote against the bat, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm glad it got through.
So today, Melissa Cox posted today. Today is the day we talk about banning plastic bags in Gloucester. ONA, I'm not sure what ordinance maybe and something. I don't know what it stands for. ONA meeting is at 6 p.m. at City Hall, first floor conference room. Show up for or against. The original order was only for big stores, but may be amended to include all stores. This isn't a public hearing. You may not be able to speak.
Okay, but does she want people to come to show?
Will come when the public hearing is at full city council. Thank you.
Okay.
So she wants people to come just to hear what the pros and cons are, so people can make informed decisions,
right,
which is great.
That's tonight.
I'll
be at the Shaylin Low.
Oh yeah, with thing, but
film.
But I just want to make people aware that that's going on.
Yeah, well, that would be a fun thing to go to. Maybe I can figure out how to go to both. That's at 6.
I think the only thing that I always ask for paper when I can get paper. And actually, Kate really has been using. Kate, when we go to the grocery store,
she uses her.
She takes the a clump of the recyclable the bags that are reusable.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been getting into that.
Yeah, Tom's really good at that. I'm really bad.
I'm bad at it too. She's great
remember.
At it. But I don't want my meat in a paper bag. I want the meat because they always leak.
Because you're afraid about leaking. Yeah.
Cross contamination.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, I get I go shop at Whole Foods, because it's often on my route coming back and forth from Cambridge, and also I love it there. And also I go in and I get a really good lunch while I'm like deliriously hungry.
Kate is all in on Whole Foods too.
I love Whole Foods.
$500.
No, it's not.
Right.
$700.
I'm a market basket.
Me too.
So, but
I don't want to stop
and
shop
more. They don't have any plastic bags there.
Huh?
At Whole Foods. They don't have plastic bags at Whole Foods.
So if you get meat, what do they do?
It just goes in a bag, and I don't have a.
I wonder what they would do. I wonder if you go to to Connolly's and you buy clams or something, are they going to give it? Are they going to be able to, allowed to use plastic?
Well, what like Tom gets all the fish at Turner's, and they wrap it up in paper. So they wrap it up in like a wax paper type of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. So. Yeah. Whole Foods. So Kate is all in.
Did you know that you can?
I hate Java. Can they ban fucking Java, please?
That noise.
Did you hear that shit? I'm so sick of Java. They said I've read things that Java is completely unnecessary now that there's HTML5.
Oh yeah.
And they still jam, trying to jam Java and I wouldn't hate Java so much if I'm going banana. But when you press the install thing, if it didn't try to install five other friggin' things with it, that's gonna jam up your computer. I mean, toolbars and everything else. I'm like, who are these people? It's like the spawn of Satan designed Java. Hate it. And I don't hate it because it just interrupted our podcast. I just hate it because of they constantly try to cram it down your throat and we don't need it.
The nerve of it all.
Sons of bitches. Hate that goddamn thing. What were we talking about?
We were talking about
Kate and her love affair with organic food that she's recently...
Yeah. Whole Foods, you go into Whole Foods and...
I am horrified.
Any vegetable you want, and it's so fresh. You don't have to
stand there. I'm horrified with the cost.
You don't have to stand there and pick through the vegetables to try to find one that's not all brown to stem or whatever.
As much.
No.
It's crazy.
No, it isn't. It depends on what you buy, also. I don't buy fish there, because we buy fish here, right?
Yeah.
And then during the most of the year when it's available, I buy from farmers market.
It's such a scam. It's such a scam.
We had this argument about Market Basket versus Stop and Shop.
I came over on the other side on the Stop and Shop,
and
though. Stop and Shop prices have come down.
And I
like their meat department way better.
Yeah.
And since you said that, I compare the apples and the apples. Mm-hmm. The apples are much better at Stop and Shop. So I'll pay, but I won't pay for organic apples. I won't pay three times for an apple. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to happen.
There's certain things like strawberries that you should always buy organic. There's certain fruits in it because they pour so many pesticides and chemicals. So certain fruits and vegetables you should always buy organic. But, you know.
All right.
And
well, you know more about it than me.
And you should always buy local, like from our farms and our, you know, local farms if you can first. That's the best thing to do.
I don't know if it was a month and a half ago or so, when I went to buy James, I picked up that Weber Performer, the stainless steel top one, for James.
Oh, you did? Because
it was on Craigslist for a week and a half. I'm like, I can't let this go by without one of my friends owning this grill. It's beautiful.
Are you going to be the spokesman for Weber Grill?
No.
Did you know that Matt's advertising agency, Matt, just picked up Weber?
What, really?
Yeah.
We're going to have a little conversation with Matt.
I've been talking to him.
Oh, my goodness. And so, now you got me all flustered right now. So I went to go buy this grill, and it happened to be listed up off of, like, Concord Street or whatever, like, up there, where I rarely ever go, off of Exit 13. And I went by a Marshall's Farm Stand. They're, like, clearing out, like, incredible amount of land back there, and they have the farm animals and everything.
Yeah.
So speaking of buying off of local farms, have you been up there?
Marshall's. Yeah, I drive up that way quite often.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, they're doing an awesome job up there.
Awesome. And have you seen that new farm, Cedar Rock Gardens? Just keep going. Like, if you're...
It's on the same road?
It's on the same road. So you go past... you're starting from Marshall's, and you keep going. You know what I mean? You keep winding around, and eventually... That's Concord Street, I think, and then eventually that comes out to 133.
Yeah,
on that road.
Yeah.
Well, what I love about I'm sure Cedar Rocks is great and everything, but what I love about what they're doing with these farms, they're making them because Appleton is doing the same thing. They're making them destinations.
Because
these moms that have the kid, like especially like young kids, and you're ready to pull your hair out because you have nothing to do with them, you go there and then you make like you can burn a couple hours at these places, you know, with the animals, and they have an appreciation for everything.
When my kids were little, the only farm around really was Russell Orchards, and I think it was called Goodale Orchards then, and then they switched to Russell Orchards, but that was worth hours.
They do it amazing. It's like going to a zoo.
Yeah.
You can see, you can walk through all the barns and everything.
Turkey ones. I mean, it was fun.
Cider donuts.
Yes,
it should be mandatory that they all offer the cider donuts. Even though I'm on a diet, I've been very cranky. The winter, Kellen, you could relate that we're a lot less active in the winter, especially down here. Like, basically, the lobster industry goes from, you know, speed 100 in the fall to speed 10, like January 15th. It's like lights out. So I've packed on like 20 pounds or something. I feel okay, but I, like, you know, sometimes bikini season's coming up. I have to look good for my bikini. And so Kate and I, we've made a pact that we're doing 30 days, severely limiting, like, bread products, alcohol, like the whole clean eating, no pizza, no chips, crackers.
That sounds like a long 30 days.
Yes, there was the first day,
I
got back from Naples the day before. So we hadn't got to the grocery store yet. So all we had in the fucking cabinets, because we cleaned out the fridge before we left, all we had in the cabinets was Ritz crackers, Clubhouse crackers, this kind of crackers, the scoop, multi-grain scoop chips, all things that, like, I'm a salt guy. I'm not a sweet guy. And, like, I'm looking all day long. I kept opening up the cabinets, looking at it, and closing it. And I got more and more angry every time I opened up the cabinet.
Just throw them away.
And Kate's like, well, this is going to be... she's like, I'm starting on Monday, she said. She goes, so why don't we get pizza tonight? I'm like, I went through this whole fucking day.
Monday comes, we'll start tomorrow.
I'm like, we went through the... I've waited all day long. It's 5 o'clock. I'm not going to go with pizza now. Like,
what my plan is, 1,200 calories a day right now. But, you know, if you have a donut that is just a plain cake-like donut, right, that's 170 calories. But if an egg and a piece of fruit, that's breakfast. You know what I mean? If you have, and that's less than 300
I don't
calories,
like doing the calorie thing.
I love it. It's fine. I lost, like, 10 pounds.
That's great.
Yeah.
But I think, like, for me, I think that bread products... literally, I think they make me feel, like, mentally and everything, like, this sluggish. Like, if I eat a sub, I'm nodding off.
Yeah.
Like, it just impact. I can eat a steak, and I can eat
a steak,
monster potatoes, and have a ton of energy. You put bread in the mix.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a normal reaction. I think that's, you know.
Mm.
So, but then when I was at the hotel working, I just grabbed a muffin and I went home and looked it up. And a little corn, like a donut, is 170 calories, but a corn muffin was 395 calories. And I was like, what? And I'd read that before.
I love corn muffins.
Yeah,
so. Nothing better than a corn muffin sliced in half with
butter
on the grill.
Like a whole meal. Like, one corn muffin is a whole meal on 1,200 calories a day. You know what I mean?
Speaking of muffins, I think within the next couple of days, if it hasn't happened already, Rusty Shatford is supposed to be taking over for Heidi at the Ford Square Cafe.
Oh,
big news. I have to get
news.
Down there.
Okay.
Rusty's such a great guy. Do you go there?
I've been down there, yeah.
They do a great breakfast. And Heidi is still going to be around, coming in and, like, baking,
doing the baking
good and stuff, because her muffins and her pastry cabinet, all stuff that she makes. Are all really good.
Are really good.
But I can't have that shit.
Why are you talking?
But I still gotta go see it. No, because I'm going kind of a paleo thing.
Oh, you do. So,
yeah, I'm going like
just meat and potato, meat and vegetables, or fish and vegetables, or.
I don't know. I might have it wrong. I'm gonna eat, like, any kind of protein. I'm gonna thin it, but I'm not gonna eat. I'm gonna try to stay away from, like, because I'll eat blocks of cheese. And that's a weakness too.
Yeah. Like, I read, like, one slice of cheddar cheese is, like, 200 calories in it.
And then you throw it on top of a cracker. That's, like, my favorite thing. Seriously, my favorite thing would be, like, Cracker Barrel, the green one, the extra sharp one. On a fucking cracker. I'll pound down a sleeve of fucking Ritz crackers with a, in a whole block of in the winter. You know what I mean? Eating out of boredom is the worst thing.
That's right.
And I'm like, yeah, terrible. Goodness. I don't know. Where am I? Where I got lost. Oh, you went to? Did you go to this or not? The you were at the thing, Cape Ann TV, the Pro Video Meetup.
Oh yes, it's awesome. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic event, and I recommend to anybody who's interested in photography or filmmaking, join Cape Ann TV for $20. You can go to all their amazing workshops that they have, like once a month, and they get pro people from all around the greater Boston area. This last one was representatives from Hunt's, from Rule, which is a fabulous rental place. And then my favorite guy was this older guy, Ken Freed, from JVC cameras, and that's the brochure, and this is my new little dream camera. It's a real, what I've learned is the kind of camera that I need to upgrade, you know, better.
So what is the difference between the camera that you, because you came in here with this brochure,
right?
You're very excited about this different camera. What is this, what is the difference between,
we can talk cameras for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the difference between this camera you're shooting right now? What will this new camera allow you to do?
Let me see if I can say it quickly. It shoots in 4K. However, I'll never shoot in 4K, but it shoots with prime lenses. So you have a prime lens, and because it shoots in 4K, you can zoom. If you're shooting in HD, you can zoom out four times. And it's a one, and it, the Rokinon lens that I would probably get, the 35 or the 45, is a 1.8. It's such a fast lens, 1.8 aperture. And then, so I asked the guy.
So in very little light, you're going to get crystal clear images.
And so then I said to them, well, even if it's, you know, so I went to Hunt's on Friday to follow up with this camera to look at it some more. So even if, so I said, well, even four times, zoom is not big enough for me. So I said, what other lens can I put on there? And so then all the guys from Hunt's came over and they figured out we could put a Panasonic Micro Four Thirds 100 to 300 millimeter lens on it, and it would be dedicated to it so that you don't need an adapter.
Mm-hmm.
So the zoom capabilities would still work on the lens, so you could do four times with the camera and then zoom in with the Panasonic lens at 100 to 300 times zoom, so you could get like a 1200 times zoom on this camera that
you put that on.
Around.
And if you put that on a tripod,
incredible. I wouldn't even need it. I could be running around in the field. It has three stops of image stabilization, so I mean, it was
phenomenal.
Yeah, but
that far out,
I could play with it. You know what I mean? Like, there would be some wiggle room there. Like, because my enemy, I mean, I love my tripod, but it's like an enemy. You're trying to set up your tripod and everything's gone by.
Yeah, you know.
Things in nature happen in one split second. They don't happen in tripod time. And I try to tell people that. They're like, oh, we'll just use your tripod. And I'm like, like, if I'm doing a scenery thing, I'll use my tripod. But if I want to capture something that's happening in the second, I can't. It's just impossible. So anyways, this is a very fantastic camera.
I hope they do. Very exciting about your camera.
But this is at Cape Ann TV. To get back to Cape Ann TV, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Yeah. I hope they do these more often, and I hope I can get to one because I'm a camera porn guy. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
the
so much fewer
camera geek,
it.
Like
you,
you know, camera gasm.
Yeah. So they're using
it's all the latest technology for for a tech geek, camera geek. Like,
12 to
very exciting.
They usually have them 12 to 2. And I'm not even mentioning the fabulous lunch that they always serve with it. It's totally free.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's wonderful.
They have
lunch
unbelievable resources there. Like, so for the fee that they charge, $20 or $25 a year, they come in, they give you lessons. There's people on hand that will teach you and how to edit, like using some of this editing software, like Final Cut.
I tried it, and
I'm like, it's just a little bit. Like I go went back to the very rudimentary, simple thing because for me it's all about speed. But like, they'll teach you some really good advanced techniques.
And now they have Adobe there too. They have Final Cut and Adobe.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
amazing.
It's much like the Dories. It's one of these bargains that's that add your fingertips.
A lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, completely.
Absolutely.
Completely, yeah. Yeah.
So if you become a member also, then you'd be on their, you know, you can always check their website to see when these workshops are. Yeah. But if you're a member, then you, and also I post regularly about them as well, too.
Yeah.
So.
Kellen, I'm going to ask you a question right now. We're going to see if this is an age thing or not.
Okay.
The name Matt Harding, does that mean anything to you?
Not to me.
Yeah.
See, it didn't
it's
to
the
me
younger
either.
Kid. It's the, for younger
so this guy.
Kid.
So this it didn't mean anything to me. This guy Matt Harding is supposed to be a big deal. He goes around the world or the country.
He goes around the world.
He goes around the world and he makes these. He goes into these. He'll show up someplace and he'll do these incredible dance videos with people
with kids from the community.
With kids from the community.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
It's a thing. I didn't
it's
know it was
thing.
A thing, but I guess
right.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's an international thing.
Does he have, like, yeah, I think he has, like, 100 million hits on it. I mean, seriously, I'm not making that
yeah.
number up. 100 million YouTube hits on his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
his combined videos, so.
So he is coming to Gloucester May 20th. To the fisherman
statue
and
right.
They're going to do. They're going to create a video
in front of the statue.
So these. So we. Martin Del Vecchio sent in a press release or something,
yeah,
saying,
this is
"Let's
coming.
Have a good turnout and,
yeah,
and make it really cool."
And any young person I've spoken to, they're super excited about this. So.
See, there you go. So it must
there
be.
You go.
If you have kids in middle school, you probably know
probably
who Matt
know,
Harding
right.
is. So that's 6 p.m. on May 20th. Head down to the Fisherman Statue.
Yeah.
And that will be happening. Let me see. I'm going through my notes here. Oh, Kellen, you brought this up. The Whale Watchers are having a big season.
Yeah, they're off to a good start is what I heard. I was talking with Captain Johnny Carvelis. He's with Hurricane 2, so that's Cape Ann Whale Watch. The other ones in town, I know the privateer.
Seven Seas
Whale Watch as well.
Seven Seas.
Yes.
Seven Seas and Privateer. That's
yeah.
Captain Frontiero.
Yeah.
Oh, Frontiero, yep.
Yeah, and it's Captain Bill's over there. But yeah, I was speaking with those guys, and it sounds like there's been a lot of feed around, and I think a couple weeks ago they had something like 75 whales on Middle Bank, which is
I saw some Instagram posts,
yeah.
And they said that unprecedented... Whale, like sightings that they've had of just the numbers
really
of whales that they're
yeah.
seeing
yeah.
per
yeah.
It, like
well,
a spectacle.
I've reposted a couple of them from Seven Seas that they sent. So
yeah.
Yeah. And they like 11 of this and, you know, 20 of that and 100 of that. And it was just like, wow.
People say that like, you probably, do you see, how often do you see whales like when you're out lobstering?
Lobster and pretty common. Once we get offshore, you end up seeing them pretty much every day. But finbacks and porpoises. But
oh, and they saw a bunch of Atlantic white-sided dolphins.
Yep.
Yeah.
See a bunch of those running around. And but yeah, it's pretty common to see them. But to really be in the big show, that's when you want to be in the humpbacks, and they put on the best display.
That's the ones that breach and stuff.
Yeah.
They
breach,
come down,
they
splash.
Their tails go flipping up.
Yep. Tails.
Yeah.
Flip the tails up, and sometimes they'll smash their flipper or whatever on the water. But yeah, the breaches are pretty impressive.
And also, Captain Paul Frontiero told me that.
Frontiero.
Well, I'm sorry, because I spelled it wrong. Paul corrected me and said I spelled it wrong because he spells it with two R's. And our Paul spells it with one R.
Oh, I didn't know there was ever one with two R's.
Yeah, that's how.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I was informed of that, and I double checked, and
yeah, wow.
Our Paul was correct that I had spelled Captain Paul's last name incorrectly.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, he said that.
I've never been on a whale watch. Have you?
Yes, it's super fun. I've been on Seven Seas. It's amazing.
Yeah, people
fun.
That. Yeah. Another thing that we have locally here,
yeah.
People that
well,
go out, they say it's like seeing like real life dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like
oh, yeah.
They're these
big,
massive.
Big.
Yeah.
And
up
it
close.
It was surprising because we went, like I had never taken my kids on it until I had clients coming up from New York and they had four little boys and we were trying to think of something to do with these four crazy little boys. And that's when, you know, we all went, my family and their family, and I felt kind of badly that I hadn't taking my own kids out on that any sooner. But they had gone out on school trips too. But Captain Paul was saying that they're seeing extraordinarily beautiful batches of birds too, like hundreds of Bonaparte's gulls and things like that, because they're coming in for the fish too, that
yep.
the whales are there
yeah,
for.
Kellen, you mentioned that earlier, that like
yeah.
you know, the whales are where the feet is, the birds are where the feet is.
It is, right. It's all together.
Yeah. Do whales travel up and down just like the tuna?
Yeah, in fact, they're going to travel right together. Usually if you're out tuna fishing and you see the whale boats and or the whales as a whole, that's where you want to be, just because that's where the big biomass is of whether they're in sand eels. Sand eels is one of their favorites. So if the sand eels make their way up Middle Bank, right to the northwest corner, which is the closest part of the bank to Gloucester, that's where everything's gonna, that's where all the life's gonna be, and vice versa. Sometimes they'll be up on Jeffries, and another reason why Gloucester's such a great place is because we're right at the middle of all these different structures out there, so it's awesome. You know, like some places down the Cape, if the fish all move up on Jeffries, they get a long steam where we're kind of right in the middle. So it's a great spot for whale watching, closest to the whales usually.
How many different levels can we have of awesomeness? And we grew up here, and you know, I grew up not until I got out of college, I had no appreciation for it.
Right.
And it just keeps getting better and better and better. It's like we're so blessed.
Yeah, we are so blessed.
It's like the total double-edged sword for me. So here's a great story, right? So, you know, so I'm looking for a house now, right? Trying to buy a house. Like the curse of Good Morning Gloucester is that like I've beat this drum for the past 8 years about how East Gloucester is God's country and everything else, and like the cat's out of the bag now. Like Gloucester, like the houses in Gloucester, you could buy a house cheaper in East in Hamilton, Mass. Than you can, same
in
house
Gloucester.
In East Gloucester. The house in East Gloucester is more
that.
Expensive. Even if it doesn't have a view, it's more expensive. Right. So, you know.
Billy Parks' house just sold too. You know my neighbor, Melissa, across the street? Melissa Giacalone. She was married to Paul Giacalone.
Yeah. She bought that house?
No, her parents bought it.
I knew that wasn't going to last long.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice house.
They're fixing it all up in the inside and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So, it's a nice location, isn't it? Yeah, tucked up there.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm back. I now know where I was going. So there's an open house yesterday, right? So off of Mount Pleasant, where I want to be. I pull into the open house. A long time friend of the blog, FOB, friend of the blog, Lendl. Will now, who is from Hamilton, older couple, him and his wife show up for a lot of our events and stuff like that. He goes to the Polar Plunge and everything else. He's coming out of the open house. He's looking to move to Gloucester, right? Walk in, there's another friend of ours, Stu Lear, who's got his Good Morning Gloucester hat on in the open house.
Oh, no.
Another couple, you know, Good Morning. And I'm sitting there saying, oh my God, I've created my own, I'm my own worst enemy. But whatever, it's good for the city. But
yeah.
I mean,
here it is.
Classic.
You're just going to have to find a house that goes directly from the owner to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm all in. Anybody has a house in East Gloucester?
Don't list it.
Call me direct and save the commission. You can put the commission in your pocket. I need a minimum of 3 bedrooms. So anyway, yeah, it's all good though. But that's is that hilarious or is that hilarious? You're not married yet.
No.
I don't know how these young folks. Well, you got a long ways to go. 23. You should not even think about getting married till you're 30. First of all, so you got ways to go, and hopefully there's a couple market corrections in the housing market so you can get in and buy yourself a house. But Jesus, I see that, like, especially as a self-employed guy, like health insurance. Well, you could probably get it on the fisherman's health insurance deal that's not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's still got to be expensive for a family.
I
don't know how young people do it.
Alex is staying on ours till he's 26, so.
You can stay on it till you're 26?
Kids can. Stay until they're 26.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Break.
Yeah.
Are you on your parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got that going for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck when you're 27.
Right.
It's like not fun.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think we had a good thing there. We're going to come back. Go to www.cbcharters.com to book a charter on the Connemara Bay with Kellen. And did your dad go on the boat too?
Yeah, we both were on the trips. So
both were on the trips?
On the day of the week.
There you go.
Just got in the boat.
Go to, well, by the time this airs, you won't know about Kim's butterfly trailer. How is your fundraising thing going?
It's going as good as it can. Like right now, I just send out applications. However, the one for Sundance and the international documentary.
Yeah, but do you have is that the Kickstarter?
It's not really a Kickstarter.
What was it called? So GoFundMe?
It's not a GoFundMe.
What was it?
It's on my page at the Filmmakers Collaborative, right?
Yeah.
So they're called my fiscal sponsors, and they mm-hmm. represent a lot of other filmmakers. There's a button there where you can donate. Mm-hmm. So I'm not promoting that too much. I don't really want to do any crowdsourcing. I'm trying to get grants and things like that. So,
okay.
But people are, I mean, if they see that and they want to, then they...
I'll put a link in here.
Okay, so that's very generous. People, you yourself, Catherine Ryan, many friends have donated to it, and I'm very appreciative of that. But I'm not like...
I'm not actively trying to do it.
I'm actively trying to finish the film through grants.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, there you go. So I think we got all our plugs in here. Colin, thanks for coming in. First time. Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. We're gonna do some more stuff with Colin in the upcoming months.
Oh, that'd be exciting to hear all about that, Dory's. And
yeah, good luck with Same Boats, too.
Yeah. Be a good year.
All right.
Yeah.
For Kim Smith.
Bye.
And Colin O'Malley.
Good day.
We out.